DW Africa Link.
There was a time when the fight against witchcraft accusations in Ghana felt like it was gaining real ground. Advocacy was loud, policies were shifting, and safe houses were being built for the accused, mostly elderly women. But lately, the momentum seems to be slowing. Communities still whisper, some are still exile, and the violence hasn't stopped entirely. So the question is, has Ghana lost steam in its battle against these harmful accusations, or is the progress just harder to see? Well, that's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Ghana has been struggling for years to fight a cultural endemic practice of elderly women being accused of witchcraft. Well, not just elderly women, men as well, but the highest number is elderly women. The practice has led to the lynching of the accused and dismantled families. A recent report by Amnesty International has accused the country of human rights violations due to this old age practice where hundreds of elderly women are being branded as witches and secluded into camps. A bill passed by Ghana's parliament last year was not assented to by the former president Nana Akufo-Addo. The bill will now have to go through the legislative process again since there is a new government. So is Ghana losing the steam in this fight? And how soon will there be a breakthrough? Well, to discuss more on this, I'm joined by Genevieve Partington, the country director of Amnesty International Ghana, and Adjoa Domena, DW correspondent. Genevieve, I'll start with you. You have just released a recent report on Ghana and its fight against witchcraft accusation. What are the highlights of this report?
Our report on witchcraft accusations, it's called Branded for Life. And it basically covers the four camps which are located in the north and northeast regions of Ghana. And basically, there are hundreds of women, children, men in these camps. And most of the inhabitants of these camps have been accused of witchcraft. So the report basically highlights human rights violations that have obviously happened before the women got to the camp and inside the camp as well. And you would realize that, a lot has been happening. There's lack of fundamental human rights, basic rights. For example, access to water is a huge issue in all the camps. Access to housing, good housing. Some of the camps, they have mud houses and the roofs are basically falling off. So when it rains, there's flooding in their rooms. A number of them have to share their rooms and compound houses. There are also issues of dignity, of course, how are these women earning money to ensure good livelihood? There's a program that the government rolls out called LEAP, and that is for, it's a livelihood program that provides a certain amount of money for these women. The amount is not that much, and we are hearing that the amounts are going to be revised based on, other findings that this amount is not enough for these women. There are just so many other issues that the report covers, but mainly the need for the government to ensure that the private members bill currently in parliament, which is on witchcraft accusations and criminalizes witchcraft accusations, is passed into law. It's very specific because it doesn't just look at traditional leaders as accusers. It also looks at religious leaders and anyone that, calls themselves a witch hunter, witch doctor, witch finder. All these persons will be brought to justice.
Right. But Genevieve, as you were explaining this, something just came to my mind. I mean, even in the Court of Justice, it's said that someone is not guilty until charged that they're guilty, right? And I'm just
Yes.
thinking, what is the proof? What, because every case should have evidence. This is why people go to the courts to try and see if this evidence surfaces for someone to be called a criminal or for them to be judged guilty. So when it comes to witchcraft, what are some of the evidences or the proof that is laid out for these women then to be removed from their families, to be thrown into camps?
So, most of the time, I mean, it's speculation. Like I said, it's bad omen. People are blamed for, oh, I didn't get a job. My land is barren. My crops are not harvesting. I'm not able to harvest good crops. I'm not getting pregnant. And oh, I had a bad dream, and this I found this woman in my dream tormenting me. So a lot of the time, that is the reasoning behind accusing someone when you saw the person in a dream. And then these women are accused. And then a lot of the time, these women, either their houses are burned to the ground, they are beaten, and they are chased out of their communities. So unfortunately, during this process, it becomes very difficult to report because a lot of the time the perpetrators are actually family members. So sometimes there's this guilt about reporting a family member or a neighbor that has accused you. A lot of the time it's community members and the youth that lead the beating of this woman or lynching of this woman. And these are some of the factors that you can use in court because most of the time they are chased out of their community. There's a terrible trend where people have been videoing some of these lynching and beatings, and it has been used once as evidence in a particular a particular case. I believe there was the lynching of Ekuea Dente, and some persons, one particular case that was in court. Two persons have been sentenced to 12 years. But then you ask yourself, why only two persons when there was a group that lynched this woman? Because they couldn't identify the other people that lynched this woman. But guess what? With the law, the accuser, so if it was the traditional leader in her community or whoever pointed at this woman to accuse her, will also serve some form of jail time, or will be brought to justice in one way or the other based on the law, because it's very important that it's not just about physical abuse, but it's also emotional abuse and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's just a bit unfortunate because who can prove a dream? And dreams are dreams, right? But let me just turn to you, Adjoa. You are our correspondent. In your reporting, why does it appear it is difficult to deal with the issue of alleged witches in Ghana?
For me, it's important that we understand the root reasons. And I think Genevieve was giving some of the reasons. And you asked a very important question about how you're able to prove that somebody is a witch. So that's where I'll take this question from. It's usually a matter of spirituality. And so, for instance, somebody will go to a fetish priest or a pastor, and they will tell them, oh, this thing that's not happening well in your life, it's because of so so and so. And once that accusation is made, for instance, there are communities that can come together and say, our community is not progressing, so let's go to the fetish priest, the local fetish priest. Then, once a name is given, then the entire community will rally and lynch this person because we have sought spiritual intervention, and it is assumed that once the fetish priest agrees that this person is the one worrying the community, then we can go after them. So it really is a deeply rooted mentality among a lot of communities. And sometimes we tend to say that it's only prevalent in the northern Ghana, but even in Accra, last year, late last year, just a few months after the bill was passed by Parliament, we had a man who was accused to be a wizard. he was nearly lynched. It was just the police that intervened for him to be saved. So a lot of these, and in my reporting, I've seen that a lot of these are deeply rooted. Even people, and Ghana is largely a Christian nation, but even people who go to church would have divided opinion when it comes to the branding of somebody as a witch. To tell you what, I think that Genevieve will even have more information on this, but I think that then the number of cases that have been reported are way low than the number of cases that have not been reported, because again, bringing in the issue of tradition, people think that these are issues of spirituality. And so that you can't, the lines between spirituality and the law really are not clear. So you can't really bring issues of spiritual matters into the law unless there is a clear commitment from the authorities to say that, yes, we have passed this bill. Yes, we have assented to this bill. Then people will know that, okay, if I do this, even if I call somebody, if I accuse somebody, the law can deal with me. If I am a fetish priest or a pastor and I engage in labeling somebody as a witch, the law will come after me. And the sanctions are clearly spelled out. Then it will deter people. Then we can make progress in dealing with the issue.
In your reportings and findings, do you see that Ghanaians are really angry with the practice, or the reactions are sort of like divided?
Yes, it's a divided reaction most of the time. But here's what I've seen about Ghana and the communities and when some of these issues happen. It's only the anger is only seen when you hear reports. So it's not something like LGBTQ plus, where you find the majority of Ghanaians, even on a daily basis, once you ask them about it, they have a stance, they are strongly against it. Witchcraft accusations is something a lot of people are in the middle. So unless it happens, unless they see the torture that people are being subjected to, then they'll say that, oh, this is bad and we have to stop it. But that is not to say that everybody thinks like that. In fact, there have been a lot of members of parliament, just like Genevieve mentioned, who have championed the need for the passage of the bill. To tell you what, when this bill was first introduced in the previous administration, it received a lot of support. You had Shiraj, the Commissioner of Human Rights and Administrative Justice, backing it. You had some religious leaders as well backing it. You had key prominent individuals backing it. But when it went to the president cited a lot of reasons. A strain on the country's contingency fund, a lot of financial reasons why they cannot assent to the bill. And it was presented together with a lot of other bills, which they thought that if they decriminalize these things, it was going to sort of populate the prisons. And currently the prisons are overpopulated. They don't have enough budget. They don't have enough logistics to even take care of the people who are there. And there are no intentions of expanding them. So for instance, if you're taking all of these people who are naming and accusing people or torturing people in the name of witchcraft, you're taking all of them to prison, then the country would have to make additional resources available to expand our prisons, and that they are not willing to do. So there's a lot of divided opinions when it comes to the issue of witchcraft. But on a personal conviction level, you still have people who say that, yes, we think that the lynching is not good, but there has to be investigations. So people still believe that once an accusation is made, then there could be a semblance of truth in there, which all boils down to the issue of culture and the mentality of a lot of people. But to answer your question directly, there is indeed split opinions whenever the issue of witchcraft or its accusations are mentioned.
All right. Now, so now just to touch on also the accommodation, like you said, government, of course, has to look into this, especially with the prisons. But Genevieve earlier mentioned also in the report now the camps that these old people or the witches, alleged witches, are taken to, the living conditions are not good. Tell us about the victims of this practice. Where do they mostly live? And I mean, the environment, the communities, has it also been so difficult to reintegrate them? Because, I mean, imagine a camp of people who are accused of being witches is just next door to my house, things like that. Tell us about that.
So let me start from where you ended. The issue about reintegration, it's quite hard. Late last year, I worked with a colleague on a report about one of the witch camps actually in the northern region, Kuku. And even though there have been series of actions by the Commission on Human Rights to integrate the people, it's quite hard because the discrimination still persists and strongly. For instance, they are surrounded by other neighboring communities. So it's difficult for them to access or go to, for instance, if there's a market in the neighboring community where they can buy foodstuffs to cook for themselves, it's difficult for them to go there and buy these. It's difficult for them to go to other communities to access water, and potable water in these areas, it's not there. So the sanitary conditions the people are subjected to, and I'm tempted to use women because a large number of the people who live in these camps are women, elderly women. And you find that not only do they not have access to basic necessities or amenities, but some of them are very old and frail as well. And so you find that their health is failing, but even accessing healthcare is a problem. If you've seen videos or been to one of the, I have not been there, but I've seen reports, I've been in close work with journalists who have been on the grounds, who have shown me videos of these women, some of them talking to you and telling you, I don't even know why I landed here, because somebody just woke up one day and said, I am a witch. And so I have been secluded from the society. It's hard. The living conditions are terrible. And Shraj is doing some work. Last year, I spoke with one of their resource persons in Kuku, and he says that they are working with the communities in these neighborhoods to at least educate them and tell them why, even if they are not accepting these people wholly back into their society, they should give them access to some of the amenities so that they can also have the least dignified life, even where they are.
Right, right. Now, Genevieve, while we wait for the law to be enacted, how then should Ghana be handling this issue, in your opinion, especially when it comes to protecting these victims, as Amnesty International, of course?
Yes. So for us, I mean, we will continue our advocacy work. A lot has to be done in terms of public education. There are several civil society organizations that are already pursuing this. It's extremely important that we continue with this work, and especially in terms of reaching out to the areas specifically that have these camps. Like Adwoa said, it's even happening in Accra, it's happening in other parts of Ghana, just that there are no camps to run to in this case. So the education needs to continue on our side. There actually is a coalition against witchcraft accusations. It's made up of members, individuals, different civil society organizations, and you know, mental health authority, etc. And they've come together, and they've been doing a lot of public education around these issues on spirituality, culture, having conversations with religious leaders, especially. I must say that the convener of the coalition is a religious leader himself. So, you know, he does a lot of work. His CSO, which is called the Sana Institute, does a lot of work regarding, you know, education of religious leaders in, you know, the repercussions and the consequences of accusing, especially women, of witchcraft. So from our side, aside the law, we must continue with the advocacy. We must let people understand that this is not right, and it is actually a human rights violation. Thank you.
Right. Now, as we wrap up our discussion, Genevieve, what can then Amnesty International do to force action from Ghana's government to commit to tackling this matter? And also, you know, like I said earlier when we started, it's not just Ghana. This is everywhere in Africa. I know this struggle is there. Also, just advice in terms of how other African countries can handle this issue.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, we're already in talks with government. It's about, you know, a multi-stakeholder approach. Office of the Vice President has shown keen interest in the issue. Ministry of Gender has also shown interest. Always, they are very concerned about the issue of witchcraft accusations. And of course, the Attorney General's office as well is a partner we have been speaking with at length, and they are also very much concerned and have shown that, you know, should the bill be passed in Parliament, it would receive support from the government. Of course, this is talk, and we would like that to be put into action, that when the bill is realistically and actually passed, that you know, the president will sign it into law. Yes, that is our wish, and we only hope for the best. So we will continue the advocacy from our side. You know, there's a need for public education, but there's also a need for laws to be put in place. So if you can engage your policymakers, your lawmakers, that would be great as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Genevieve. And now, Adjoa, just to wrap up with you as well, do you think the media, especially local media in Ghana, is doing enough to bring sensitization, especially in regards to this topic, to the people of Ghana?
Once the issues happen, you have media reporting on it. Some of them will go as far as condemning it in their panel discussions. They'll put topics related to this discussion and on the airwaves at prime time, so that at least people get sensitized and know that just accusing somebody or having a feeling that somebody is a witch is not enough to beat them or even mass up against the person, gang up against the person to the point of killing them. But there's only so much the media can do. There's only so much everybody can do if there is no framework that exists to punish the perpetrators. And I say that the media is doing well, but we can do even better. We can dedicate, for instance, documentaries, you know, go into these camps, show the living conditions, go into the communities which are tempted to discriminate against these people, tell them why, through our work, through our reporting, through our documentaries, through our features, tell them why it's bad or it's terrible that somebody is already being subjected to this level of inhumane treatment, and then you're discriminating them on top of it. So the media is trying, but I think they can do better. But it all, again, boils down to the government insisting on assenting to the bill. We have seen that Shraj says it is going to engage the president on the matter. We have not heard the president state his position yet on it. We know what the former president thought of the law and when it comes into force, but we are waiting to see something positive come out of this bill once it goes through all the legislative processes and it's finally passed. And then maybe the president can assent to it and we can begin the process of nipping this in the bud.
Genevieve Partington, the country director of Amnesty International Ghana, and Adjoa Domena, DW correspondent, many thanks for joining us. At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. And talking about accusing people of witchcraft, it is not only Ghana that the practice exists. It is also a problem in Cameroon, Nigeria, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Central Africa Republic. The question is, when would the practice stop? Well, it seems more needs to be done to tackle this old age human rights abuse. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. You can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple or wherever you get your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Kalechi. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.